Our next keynote speaker will be talking about the space industry deep dive. Brad Botwin currently serves as the Director of Industrial Studies in the Commerce Department's Office of Technology Evaluation. In this capacity, he is responsible for developing surveys and analyses and implementing programs designed to ensure a technologically superior and competitive defense industrial base capable of meeting U.S. economic and national security requirements. Prior to assuming this position, Mr. Botwin served as the Division Director for Industrial Capabilities and Commerce's Strategic Analysis Division. Mr. Botwin has a degree in international affairs and economics from the American University and an MBA from George Washington University with a concentration in international business and finance. Please welcome Mr. Botwin.
Thank you. Not a lawyer, so. Okay. Let me start. I know we're pressed for time. First, let me introduce Chris Nelson on my staff. Chris is the team leader for the study and the slide set that you'll see today. So where does the Commerce Department, not NOAA, but the rest of the Commerce Department, where do we fit in this whole picture? Our group, BIS, Bureau of Industry and Security, primarily looks at export controls and licensing, and I'll get to that later in the presentation. But my group looks at actually the health and competitiveness of the industrial base, and usually the defense industrial base. Now, in 2010, we had a release of the National Space Policy, National Security Strategy. They all talked about a healthy industrial base. In fact, even the new space transportation policy 2013, again, health of the space, of the industrial base. So these policies are wonderful, well written. We always looked at where is the information behind it? Where is the data behind it to ensure that we do have a healthy industrial base? So just a quick moment or two on my organization, my group. So we're kind of a unique entity in the government. We have authority to collect information under the Defense Production Act and related executive order. We try to tie together. So my customer is usually the Defense Department or the services, bringing together economic health and competitiveness with defense capabilities and readiness. And our mission really is to kind of pull this information together, share it, monitor trends, benchmark for the organizations we're working with, and really point out, a lot of times, the bearer of bad news, what's going on in the base. Over the years, we've done lots of studies. We just happen to be in this space mode the past few years. We completed a study for NASA on the post-shuttle and Constellation to show them what was happening to their base. And more recently, we did a very kind of very narrow study on the consumers of electro-optical satellite imagery. And all these are available. In fact, one of the tables outside, we put kind of a master list of our reports. The end, we'll have a website link for you to look at. And by the way, FAA can make all these slides. They're unclassified. You can make them available to you for your use. Okay, so let's get into the space industrial base. We have been members of what's called a Space Industrial Base Council for many years because of our licensing regime that we run. This group kind of died on the vine and then has recently been resurrected. In that interim period, we got tired of the stovepiping that was going on between the agencies. Okay, the sector is beautiful in stovepiping. So the NRO kind of works with DOD, kind of works with the missile defense. Maybe they talk to NOAA occasionally in a hallway. So we decided we need to have one big bad study, a survey, one data set, and then we will work with everyone to get this information out. So our baseline for this was to tie together defense, intelligence, civil, and commercial space, map out supply chains. Now, even the prime contractors, the commercial companies, don't have a good picture of what's going on in the supply chain. So this would be kind of a breakthrough study. We'd identify suppliers, customers, the agencies they're working with. Again, there's benchmarking, laying out the tiers, the financial state, the employment questions, as you'll see. And again, bottom line, share this information within the government community and on an unclassified basis for everyone else to let everyone know what's going on. What did we cover in the survey? I'm sure there are a few people in the room that are still have indigestion from filling out that very long survey of ours. But the individual pain, we always tell the companies and the other organizations, individual pain, when put together, really laid out a great picture of what's going on. So we have full financials on all the companies that responded. Employment, and this is over a period from 2009 to 12. Again, sales, suppliers, you'll see. Most surveys get back 10%, 15% response rate if you're lucky. It's a good day, they're in a good mood. We get very high response rates, obviously because of our authorities. And in this one of the biggest ones we've done, we have almost 3,800 responses from, I like to say, the Boeings and Lockheeds down to the dirt level and everything in between. We also have universities, some government agencies, nonprofits. 62% of the respondents were small businesses. And just for those in the audience not good with numbers, we kind of broke them out for you. Now, at the prime level, it's not, I'll pick on my Boeing, it's not Boeing, but in fact, it's Boeing Space Division. Okay, so we have that ability to get the information in a narrow band because Boeing Commercial Aircraft would just blow this whole thing away. One of the first things we noticed, and we know that every company organization in here does touch the space sector in some way, shape, or form. Almost a little less than half said, we're not in the space business. We're not. I mean, they're so far down the chain. They are in the widget business. They're in the electronics business. But we can tie it down to what they provided above them, which eventually went to the agencies that we are working with. They also mentioned, half of them, that they work in the aircraft sector. They work in healthcare, far end. So we've always argued they're really one industrial base out there. So let's not kid ourselves. These are the same companies, in many cases, doing work for both the federal government and in commercial business. How to structure this, and this was Chris's real coup here. I'm pulling this together. We have 16 categories, as you can see, from A, kind of the spacecraft and launch, all the way down on the right side to materials, equipment, all part of the process to put this space industrial base together. Each of these categories were then broken out in more detail, so we had a total of 360 categories, of which the respondents just had to check boxes. What do you do for a living? And we did this because, as I said earlier, half of them did not think they were in the space business, okay? But they know they're in the nut, bolt, and screw business, and they could check that box. And that allows us to tie it together. Just to show you some of the weeds we got down to. So for example, wires and cables. I have 164 respondents that provide wires and cable. And I can take that and tie it back to programs, to agencies, to the primes and below. Circuit boards, you name it, we can pull it up for you. And you can go in and look because these are all, a circuit board is not a circuit board. So it's different across the companies that produce them. The national security agencies that we work with, they love this slide. So sole source, always a problem. Who am I dependent on out there? And this can be a U.S. company or this can be an offshore company. From the survey authorities that we have, if a foreign entity even has a sales office here, they must tell us what they are selling to the government and into the systems. So we had about 11% of the respondents tell us they believe that their supplier was a sole source, or they were a sole source. And just some of the items, you can see the hot ones. But again, we can pull it up. This was their belief. We've always told the agencies, you need to check this out, because what their vision of what is a sole source may be different than somebody else's. Now, to kind of differentiate from our colleagues at the Census Bureau, which send out a hell of a lot of surveys, very static surveys. You usually give them a number, dates, and production levels. In our surveys, besides getting some of those key data points, we also ask what I call the touchy-feely questions. So, for example, if the government pulled the rug out from under you, whoop, shuttle's gone, what happens to your company? Okay, and the normal response, I go back to business school here, I'm going to find new customers, I'm going to go into new markets and new services. Good luck. So the takes just can't do that overnight. So we always discount the top two. So what's the first thing the company does is they usually cut their key personnel. That's a way to save money, stay alive. Okay, so we have captured that. If you go down a little bit, the last red one, loss of organizational viability and solvency. 602 of the respondents said, if you kind of give me a big dip in space spending, I may not be around much longer. Okay, so we keep that number in mind. I heard all this legal jargon. I'll tell you, this is as difficult, getting these agencies to actually recognize that they are dependent on each other and talk to each other. So we identified, we went through full financial analysis of all the companies that responded over that block of time. We found 354 of them that maybe you wouldn't put your retirement account in them. And then we cut them across the agencies that we're working with. And we added the Navy just for fun. So, for example, NASA and the Navy share 158 companies that probably lost money over the last 4 years from this data collection. So maybe they should talk to each other. Maybe they should see if this is a really key supplier. All four agencies share, 47 of these not viable entities. And again, we can pull them up. It may be, again, nut, bolt, and screw guy. It may be your key supplier of a material. Take the data a step further. Every dot on here is a survey response. Outer ones, I probably don't have a survey. They were probably named by the dot further up as a key supplier. So again, we didn't collect all suppliers because that would be nuts. We only asked the companies to identify the showstopper suppliers in their that they use. And you can see that this goes, it just goes out and out. So you can go and trace it up. What we can do now, this is a program that the Air Force tells me is fully funded, GPS-3, critical. We identified 462 entities that work on it. 43 of them, of those 602 that something happens in the system here and they may shock the space base, 43 of them are embedded in GPS-3. So if there is a big budget cut, another sequester of some sort, these people may poof be gone. Will that stop the program? We'd have to do further analysis and see which ones. I can tell you who they are, but we need to go back with the Air Force. 12 of them also embedded in this dot slide here are ones that you wouldn't invest your thrift savings plan in, your retirement account in. They're there, and I can tell you where they are and who they supply and who their suppliers are. And if my friends from NOAA decide that, or the Congress decides that the GOES-R program is history, not funding it anymore, problems, those same suppliers also work on that program. So it may be NOAA causes problems for GPS-3. supposedly we have a budget. I like to call this slide the canary in the coal mine. What we ask the respondents to do by business line is to tell us overall how things are going in their different business lines for the 4 years. And what they're telling us at the bottom, as you can see, is that more companies than not are losing research and development and design engineering projects, which our Space Council members tell us, well, geez, there's less programs going through the pipeline. Things are moving more toward production, and we're kind of done. What do you do? What do? We need these R&D people for future programs. We need these designers. But a couple of the primes approached us at a conference and said, geez, if you come back in 5 years, you may need to extend those lines on a bigger piece of paper because there are no programs coming down the pipeline. We overlaid the financials on top of those 16 categories I showed you at the beginning. These are just the small businesses, approximately 500 employees or less, the definition SBA uses. We found a lot of companies in the risk area and some elevated risk, meaning, again, programs disappear, they may turn to red. So, you may say, well, okay, electronic equipment, you got some green left. So that's a good thing. I still have some green. Let's not assume that all these companies, again, in each line are fungible items across. Okay, we need to look at them, who they are. Again, we can do this. It's time-consuming, but you can pull them up, what companies, what they're producing, and is there a backup? Are they a sole source? I can tell you that, too. But again, we'd like to throw this out just to scare our partner agencies. Another slide, the range of space-related sales, the exposure of sales. How dependent are these companies on the space business? So already half of them said, I'm not in the space business. What space business? I make nuts, bolts, screws. Okay, so we discount those people. But the people who knew they did space, you have a good chunk on the left side here that said, you know, 5% of my business, maybe less. C'est la vie, whatever. Other end, you have people very dependent on space. Now, talking to our agencies, really, you can't do one policy that's going to cover the whole spectrum because some of these people don't care. They don't care. It's just that it's not a major factor. And if you're going to make it more difficult for them to stay in the space sector, they could be gone. We've also found that the more dependent they are, the more problems they are having with the government, the paperwork, the delays, everything else. And they're getting a little fed up. I have to show you the age of workforce. Everyone always shows the age of workforce. The red being non-US citizens, and these are engineers, scientists, and R&D staff. So we see a growing number of red in the slides. Just to save on the number of slides, if I did national security space here, the red effectively disappears, and my 50 to 60 and 60 plus category jump big time. Okay, so as this continues, the national security space community is going to have a harder and harder time finding engineers, scientists, R&D staff, okay, because it's backloaded with all these older folks, and since they cannot bring non-US citizens into the programs. Again, from our field visits and other work we've been doing, we asked the companies a question, oh, by the way, how many vacancies do you have, again, for more of your high-end, for your production staff, production line, testing operators, quality control, et cetera, besides just your standard scientist and engineer. About 1,200 companies told us they have almost 25,000 openings. We had some company told us that if they saw a machinist walking outside, they'd gang tackle him and bring him in and chain him to the building. So again, we have this disconnect, and this is one of the working groups we have with the Space Council, is what are we doing in this STEM? We're spending lots of money on STEM, but it doesn't seem to be trickling down, and maybe we're stepping on each other's toes here. We need to get a little more organized with this. Some of the companies said if they had someone who could do basic math, they'd hire them. So, this is, besides everything else we're trying to do, you have problems like this in the base. Also ask the companies, what are your top challenges in the long term here? What's challenging your viability over the long haul? And in the blue, competition, of course, labor costs. But we said, okay, that's nice. Let's separate the Boeings and the Lockheeds from the little guys. And what are they saying? So the big guys, again, competition, this variability of demand, something we want the council to work on also. Can't have everyone's programs in 1 year and then nothing for 3 years. And then everyone's got their programs going again. Companies can't handle this, okay? And again, they may decide to say adios to the space business. The little guys, healthcare, taxes, labor costs, difficulty presenting innovative products to the government, we can do something about that. Barriers to entry in commercial space market, maybe we can do something about that. We need to look at them differently, okay? So not just the Washington reps of the space companies. Let's talk to the people in the field that have companies and what their problems are. Export controls. We've got, I mentioned our Bureau handles export controls and licensing. There are right now draft regulations that are being reviewed, and by April, May, they should be releasing final regs, which will move a good number of items from ITAR over to the Commerce Department. Still a licensing process, but should be easier. What we found is about 25% or so of the companies actually use the system right now, ITAR or EAR right now. And that may be low because a lot of the companies rely on the Boeings and Lockheeds to do the paperwork for them. Paperwork is not easy. So they let the prime, they sell them the part, let the prime handle the whole system. These are the customers. We found 3,900 unique customers that the companies that responded sell to right now. Like a friends and allies list, okay? These are people, Canadians, French, Brits, okay? So what we'd expect. Now, we went through the draft regulations, okay? We identified 155 of those 360 product and service codes that I have. 155 of them will probably, may move from ITAR over to Commerce. Almost 2,000 companies in the data set actually do one of those 155 product areas. 1,200 of them right now do not use export controls. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that this may be a boom for exports. We have a lot of work to do with Commerce and the other agencies in getting the word out once these regs are finalized. So this can be new and expanded markets, basically, again, to friends and allies. Shouldn't be that tough. And then finally, again, because we're the Commerce Department, we asked other questions of the companies. What else is a bother to you? What can we, we're here to help, right? We're the government, we're here to help. What other issues do you need assistance in? And you see things pop up like business development, training, market assessment skills, all these things that I know the Air Force, the NRO, the Missile Defense Agency, NASA to a degree, not their job. So we need to leverage the economic agencies to try to come up with some solutions because there's only so much money that the DoD and the intelligence community has to try to fix some of these suppliers. Okay, and even down at the state level, there's programs to help fix these suppliers. it's almost obvious, but again, to the community we're talking to, I ask them, what do you do when a company comes in and says, I need market assessment skills? They just look at me. They don't answer. So we know that there's a need here. We need to get this information back from the agencies and help the companies directly. For these that were listed, we already sent out individual emails packages to each of the 1,300 respondents that needed information in these areas. Okay? Not difficult, off the shelf. You just need to pull it together and give it to the companies. And that's it. Again, one industrial base, we're all in this together, and we all have to use all the tools that we have to try to maintain and enhance this. And commercial transportation, space transportation, great. Hope you boom, grow, because we need it. We definitely need it here. Thank you very much.